Everybody is talking about MG at Mount Barker Auto Group in the Adelaide Hills, coming soon.
Breakfast with Mark Bickley and Jared Walsh.
Good morning to you. We are live in SEN SA Studio Lumo, powered by Lumo Energy SA. We'd love to hear from you. 1300 736 736. You can also send us a text. You can do that directly via the app. We got a lot of texts coming through, Bix, before we get into our daily agenda. One from Joel saying, can you explain what the scars on Jason Horne-Francis' legs are behind his knees? They're quite visible, the scars.
Yeah, look, that's from an operation he had at the start of this season or late last year where they worked out that he had a lot of pressure building up in the two main arteries behind his knee, and that was giving him grief all of last year. And I think it was undiagnosed for a lot of last year, so they got that sorted out, and I don't know how they did it, but they decompressed his main arteries, I think, in the back of his legs. I wonder whether that's why he wears long socks. I'm wondering if he's got sort of calf compression bandages underneath his long socks. Anyway. We'll have to wait and see if they fall down one day.
We also had one from Darren of Craigmore. Seriously, guys, McAdam plays for a South Australian team. Pickett doesn't. Same old Victorian bias. Ask Trent Cochin. I just put the inflection there of how I kind of thought Darren was texting then.
Yeah, look, you wouldn't be the first person that said that.
Isn't Cozzy is South Australian,
yeah,
though. So.
I just don't buy that. I just don't buy that they say, he plays for South Australian club, let's give him.
Can you imagine them sitting around a table going, all right, now let's just go through the checklist of we're going to see what the punishment is. Is he South Australian or Victorian? So, no, you've got to have the South Australian loading, so we'll put 2 more weeks onto that. Let's get into our agenda. If the button works. It won't agenda. Work. I know it works. I thought I cut you off there, but you had plenty of time with the 20 seconds before the button worked to speak.
The other thing is about this whole scenario with Pickett and McAdam. This is diabolical for the AFL because it looks so inconsistent. But what the AFL, as we explained earlier, have done, they've said, well, we're prepared to take the heat on this because we have the ability to send McAdam straight to the tribunal. If they could have sent Pickett straight to the tribunal, they would have, but they just didn't. The framework didn't allow them to do it, I don't think. So they have opened themselves up to all sorts of criticism. So this is a disaster for the AFL, and it just makes them look a little bit silly. So they wouldn't have done that intentionally, but it's they're trying to send a message about we have to look after the head, but. Yeah, at the moment, it doesn't look that way.
We are going to be joined by Lockie Jones from The Power just after 7:30. Let's have a little bit of a deep dive into that match, Bix, because it was surprising relief for a few of the fans, but the passion shown from the players when that final siren went, you could see that it's meant a lot to them, especially after the off-season and pre-season that the Port Adelaide Football Club have had.
Yeah, it did. And everything went really well. They got their matchups right. You know, we talked about last week, who's going to play on Charlie Cameron? He looked such a difficult matchup. Well, Ryan Burton started on Cameron and just absolutely blanketed him and as well as did a lot of attacking himself. Aaliyah played on Hipwood and just absolutely dominated him. Jack Gunston struggled to find the footy as well. And then at the other end, Port Adelaide really stretched the Brisbane defence. Harris Andrew had to go to Charlie Dixon, which meant Payne ended up on Marshall. That was a really good matchup for Port Adelaide. They tried to isolate that and Marshall did pretty well. And then Georgiades was on Stasevich, which is just, he's undersized to play on someone who jumps and marks it like Georgiades. But the reality was, it was just one around the contest and the footy, and Port Adelaide just looked up and about. Their energy was great. They got the ball in their front half and locked it in. And at no stage did Brisbane really look dangerous. They just were blanketed. And I get this sense that there was, at the ground, you were there, there would have been some apprehension going into the game. But once they started, there was a lot of energy around the Port Adelaide crowd and around the players. I think they got a lot out of playing really well early and they grew from there.
Without sounding too cliche, it was a game of two halves because I think at halftime, leading into halftime, Port were really inaccurate with their goal kicking. I spoke to Nathan Bassett at halftime and he said they were really undisciplined as well with the free kick count being so heavily favoured towards Brisbane.
The 100 metre penalty didn't help.
Exactly. So I think there was probably an element of belief amongst the fans and the people there that Port have done the best that they could to halftime and then Brisbane will turn it on in the second half. But it was the complete opposite and Ken Hinckley was really proud of that four-quarter performance.
Third quarter was part of a four-quarter performance. As I said, the first two quarters were not long way off where we would expect it to be. I thought we, as I said, for moments in the second we lost our way, but I think as a four-quarter performance. But it is round one. I've fallen into the trap sometimes of going, you know, round one, this and that. Well, the reality is we turned up today and we played and we represented this footy club and this great footy club and the people, the members, the fans that were there today. I actually called on the boys a fair bit to make sure that they could feel the passion of our supporters from the outside the fence today, and they could really feel that. So it was a good day for our group, for our family, and for this footy club.
So, Bix, what would the focus be from Ken and the coaching staff to the team this week? There's a sense of relief for players getting the first win out of the way, such as the new faces in Frankie Evans, Horn Francis, Junior Rioli. But also, there's relief because it wasn't the start that they had in 2022. Yeah. They've defeated a good side, but they come up against the Collingwood team this weekend, which are going to be just as tough, if not tougher, away from home. Mm. And there is that risk of having a down week because of how everything worked perfectly in round one.
Look, it's a really easy week for the coach after you have those good wins against good teams, because you got plenty of vision to show. This is what us playing well looks like. And you highlight people who do amazing things that leave their man and help out their teammate, or they, you know, attack the ball really well, or some of their contest work, which was very, very good. And then you say to them, so there's no doubt now we are capable of doing this against the best team in the competition, arguably. Well, guess what? We're going to come up against another good team, and to play finals, you have to be consistently good over a long period of time. So here's the test. Many teams can do it for 1 week, but the really good teams do it week in, week out. So yes, we were wrapped with how you played last week, but let's put that behind us. Let's work really hard and let's replicate that so we can show that we are a genuine finals contender in, you know, being able to reproduce that high standard week in, week out. That's what the message would be, I suspect.
Chris Fagan seemed pretty shocked in the post-match press conference. Would Brisbane be concerned with their performance? I had at the start of the year, it was only last week, I said on paper they're the best team in the competition. I've got them as flag favourites, and they didn't look like that. And so credit should be given to Port Adelaide. But is it one of those things where you don't want to get too carried away with round one for Port Adelaide or for Brisbane?
Yeah, look, I think exactly what I said about Port Adelaide will be the opposite for Brisbane. You know, Chris Fagan would be saying, boys, this is so far away from what we expect for these reasons. And they'd show lots of areas where they didn't do the things that they have become accustomed to doing. So whether that's like around the contest, like Brisbane are a very good contested ball team and they generally do very well. But they lost by 45 or something ludicrous, which is just unheard of. So he would say, this is not us. So put the head down this week. We train really hard and then we get a chance to play. I think they play at home this week. We get a chance to redeem ourselves and most likely pick a team which will be pretty close to the team that went out there. And we'll say, let's do this better. And generally when you get embarrassed like Brisbane were on the weekend, you do respond. There's enough quality in that team to suggest they'll respond. But it's a big game. I think they play, who do they play? They play a Melbourne at Brisbane. So it's a really good opportunity for them to show that was an aberration and they're much better. A
few texts coming through on 0427 154 166. Thanks to Tyre Power, you can get your free 5-minute safety check. Alex has said, I asked a week ago about Kenny's time. He's building a great team who could win a premiership in 2 to 3 years. Will they give him time to prove it if we finish in the finals but don't go anywhere this year?
Once again, we talked about this in the weeks leading up to the season. For me, it's about, does the list move forward? So at the end of the year, are we talking about that midfield group of Butters, Horn Francis, Rosie, Wines and Lockie Jones? And they're now a really cohesive, great midfield group. Has Marshall and Georgiades formed that sort of union that is going to sort of push them into the next 5 or 6 years and be a great combination? Have they come up with a combination down back where they can introduce maybe one or two younger players that are getting ready to replace a Tom Jonas and Trent McKenzie and others? You know, McKenzie was injured on the weekend, so they're going to have to bring another defender in. So for me, it's about, does the list move forward? Because if he finishes, let's say they finish fifth or sixth, win one final, then get knocked out. If you say, well, he's been there too long and he can't take them to where they want to go, there is an inherent risk about bringing someone else in because you don't know that they're going to be better than Ken. There's been lots of, you know, times where a new coach comes in and guess what? They want to change everything or they want to do it their way. And perhaps that's that when they do that change, it creates disruption and you don't become that winning team that everyone thinks. And then Ken Hinckley, you've got this guy who right there at the moment is so invested in that group, and the group seemed to be invested in him still. you know, so I'll, you just got to wait and see what happens at the end of the year. But I don't think there's a blanket rule. You must finish in this number on the premiership ladder or else you're gone. I just don't think it works like that.
Daniel says, after halftime, the next generation midfielders of Port Adelaide stood up because no Boak and Gray were there to fix it. Take it to the next level. You knock off Collingwood at the G. That's how clubs take the next step from good to great. It's a good point too. I think a lot of the people looking around, it's the first time in a while that I haven't heard people say, well, we don't have Travis Boak today, which is, I think it's a blessing for Port Adelaide. It's going to be great when he comes back into the side.
Yeah, I think that's the thing about Port Adelaide I've been so impressed with. Their list management has been exceptional. So you think about what they've done. They've challenged the last 4 or 5 years whilst going through this transition period with Justin Westhoff, Hamish Hartlett. We've just seen Robbie Gray exit the club and they're still in good shape. Travis Boak is playing a minor or lesser role this year. He'll play half forward rather than through the middle. There's other players that they're transitioning out as well, but they haven't done the scorched earth policy where you've gone back, you know, like Hawthorn, who are going to have a tough year this year. Adelaide did the same. West Coast look like they're about to be in a whole world of pain when all their old players retire. So they've been able to manage that and bring in young players, trade players like Pollock and Wingard to get quality in. And so they haven't really dipped down, even though they've been going through a sort of a quasi-rebuild.
Lockie Jones will join us just after 7.30. And next, Adelaide fans, we need to dissect a pretty disappointing match in Sydney over the weekend between the Giants and the Crows. It is 14 minutes past 7 on SENSA.